Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced, and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it is for anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tenzin. The language of transliteration, and it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience, so they've, this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding, and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one, we have others that I have seen, and I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjahad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com, or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, REDFORD, Michigan 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That is the praises to Allah, the praises to Allah, the God and Evolver, Cherisher, and Sustainer of all the worlds. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. That is, I bear witness, there's no deity but the one deity, God alone, and there's none like unto him. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, the peace and blessings of Allah forever be upon Muhammad for his noble work in the cause of Islam and the cause of God. So we thank Allah for blessing us to be here on this Friday, November the 27th, and we are grateful to have had a beautiful festive occasion on Thursday, the Thanksgiving Day, according to the Western world. And we know that there's a reality that there is some negativity regarding how Thanksgiving came to be in terms of how they did the Indians here in America, the pilgrims, and so on and so forth. But Allah is in control at all times, and so we are focused on the fact that whatever occurs, Allah permits it to occur, and we believe in the justice of God in this life, or if not in this life, in the life to come. Praise be to Allah. I have chosen for a topic today to speak to you about thankfulness and some ayahs from the Quran that I may refer to. And also, I want to talk to you about the three nefs, or three souls, or three parts of the human being that are mentioned in the glorious Quran. So I begin now. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Wa huwa alladhi ansha'a lakum as-sama wal absara wal afidata qalilan ma tashkurun. That is, it is He, that is Allah, who has created for you all of us, the faculties of hearing, sight, feeling, and understanding. Little thanks it is you all give. Now, this is an indictment of the human beings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And so when I hear this particular ayah, remember this ayah, it makes me cringe in my heart, knowing that I can be much more thankful, much more obedient to what Allah has revealed in the Quran and the life example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have the word shukran. If someone does something good to you, you say shukran, that is, thank you. And then the response is afwan, afwan. So the word shukran comes from shatara, the verbal root is sheen, kaf, and ra. And it means to be thankful, grateful. And the opposite is to be ungrateful. And that word is kafara. So in reality, Muslims and good people, they can sometimes become ungrateful in the sense that they don't appreciate all of what Allah has given us. And Allah tells us in the Quran that He knows that we're going to be ungrateful at various times. And He says to us in the Quran, فَبِأَيَّلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors will you deny, that you will reject, that you will be not appreciative of? So we have the attributes of Allah, Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman means the merciful benefactor. And Ar-Rahim means the one who redeems and restores and renews us when we do not appreciate the benefits that He has given to us. In another ayah in the Quran, Allah reveals, Inna al-insana li rabbihi lakanood. Surely the human being is extremely, not just ungrateful, extremely ungrateful. He puts a la, L-A in front of kanood, to let you know that he is saying that you all are extremely ungrateful for all of the many favors and many blessings that He has bestowed upon this human being. So we pray, Allah, that we will become more conscious of being grateful and be more obedient to this Creator who has fashioned us in the wombs of our mothers. Praise be to Allah. So speaking of being fashioned in the wombs of our mothers, Allah reveals in the Quran, yaklukukum si batni umma hatikum khawfan min ba'adi khawfin si dulumatin salatin salatin. Zalikumullahu rabbukum lakumuku la ilaha illa huwa fa anna tusrahun. Translated, this is a portion of the ayah 6 of Surah 39, or chapter 39. He created you, meaning you all. Yaklukukum, he has created you all. It's a tongue twister, isn't it? Yaklukukum, he created you all in the wombs of your mothers, or the stomachs of your mothers, creation after creation, in three chambers, or veils of darkness. Such is Allah, your Lord. He is the sovereign. There is no deity except him. And then he asks us the question, how then are we turned away? So I mention this particular ayah because during the Nation of Islam times and also in a lecture by Elijah Muhammad called The Theology of Time, he made the comment, and Farrakhan has reprinted this particular article in the final call numerous times, and I'm just trying to set it straight from what the Quran has revealed. So we were told in this particular lecture that God created himself out of eons and eons and eons of time out of triple darkness. So if you listen to what I just said there, this suggestion is that God was made out of triple darkness. In other words, darkness was here before Allah himself, and it took eons and eons and eons of time for the creator himself to come into existence. I laugh because, you know, I thank Allah that I don't have that mind of believing that God is a human being. No man could be God, and there is only but one deity, and that is the creator of heaven and earth and everything that exists. So, Farrakhan was mentioning that, and also Elijah in this particular article, that God is a man, in effect. And the reason why I say that is because of this particular ayah here, where God is telling us in the Quran that he created the human being out of three chambers of darkness. So what are those three chambers of darkness? Well, we have the stomach lining, right? Then we have the uterine lining, and then we have the sac, the amniotic sac that we all are in, and we know that when the woman's sac bursts, liquids begin to come out, and it's time for the human life to come forth out of the womb of the mother. So I'm saying to you that this triple darkness idea is in the Quran, but it does not refer to the creation of Allah himself. Rather, it refers to the creation of the human beings. Could you imagine the fact that there's no darkness? You never see any light when you're in the wombs of your mother. And the first time you experience, or I experience, or anybody will experience light, is when we come out of the wombs of our mothers. So praise be to Allah. God is telling us in the Quran the structure of how it is that we come into life, come into form. And he mentions this in the Quran in many ayahs. So I would say to you that Muhammad was not a scientist. He did not have microscopes and things like that. So for this to be revealed to him is something that you and I should definitely believe, because the dawn of science and technology and all of that had not reached the minds and hearts of the people over 14 centuries ago. Praise be to God, the Lord and cherished and sustainer of all the world. So after that particular ayah that I just mentioned, I'll mention it again, portion thereof of chapter 39, verse 6. He created you in the wombs of your mothers, creation after creation, or stage by stage, and in three chambers of darkness, such as Allah, your Rabb, your Lord. He is the sovereign. There is no deity except him. How then are you turned away? And then he follows up this particular ayah that is concluded by how are you then turned away with, is you reject Allah, meaning us. Truly, Allah has no need of you, but he lacks us not in gratitude. He wants us to be grateful. He does not like ingratitude from his servants. If you are grateful, if you are thankful, if I am thankful, he is pleased with us. No bearer of burdens can bear the burden of another. That is, no bearer of burdens can bear the burden of another. In the end, Allah tells us, to your Lord is your return, when he will tell you the truth of all that you did, in this life. For he knows well all that is in the human heart. Praise be to Allah, Rabbil Alameen, the cherisher and sustainer of all of the worlds. And now I want to talk to you, inshallah, about the three nafs of the human being that's mentioned in the Quran. We talked about the three veils of darkness in the womb. Now we're going to talk about the three nafs of the human being. Now I would like to postulate this to you. Well, many of us like to say that we have three parts of the human being. I would postulate to you that since Allah has said in the Quran that he's created us all as al-jain, that is, in pairs, then we must see this as a duality thing in the fact that Allah has said he's created everything in pairs. So as I go along, you'll see what I'm leading to in the end of the talk about the three selves. So this first one that we're talking about is in the Surah 12, verse 53. You might want to write it down if you happen to have a pen or a paper, or pen and paper in your reach. 12:53. So Allah reveals, وَمَا أُبَارِئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوَاءٍ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ Rabbi, inna Rabbi Ghafur Rahim. Translated, nor do I absolve or fear my own self of blame. The human soul is certainly subject to deviation. I don't like to say prone to evil. I believe Yusuf Ali says prone to evil. Unless my Lord do bestow his mercy, but surely my Lord is all forgiving, most merciful. Now I recognize that most of you know of this particular surah where it talks about Yusuf, that is Joseph, and how the wife of the king desired Yusuf, and Yusuf tried to get out of there and make a run for it because she was trying to dismantle him and disrobe him, or at least have some kind of intercourse with him. So he got out of there the best he could, and supposedly, I shouldn't say supposedly, but in the story in the Bible and the Quran, it talks about how his shirt was torn from the back. So at any rate, Yusuf is declaring that, hey, I'm a human being. I have a sexual drive and all of that, and had it not been for the presence of his Rabb, his Lord, he may have desired Zuleika. That's the name that's given to her, but it's not in the Quran, this particular name, Zuleika. But at any rate, she was the wife of the king. So in this particular ayah that I just recited, the word that's used is emmaratu, emmaratun. And emmaratun comes from the root emara, which means to command, to command something. So we have commands within us that Allah has clocked in. If you eat food, eventually you're going to have to defecate, right? If you drink water, eventually you're going to have to urinate. And you can't cut off your own breath by just holding your breath. So Allah commands you to breathe. So there's a lot of things about the human being that's clocked in where you must do it. You must defecate to live. You must urinate to live. Now, pardon me, talk about that. A lot of people like to talk about the natural functions that we as human beings have. But hopefully this is good for me to mention, because you'll remember what I'm talking about. So this commanding soul, the commanding soul that causes you to want food, the commandment sort of causes you to want to have a mate. These are things that Allah has designed and clocked in. So this is a self or part of the human being influence, or I should say experience. The idea of wanting warmth, comfort, shelter, pleasure. These are commanding things within the nest or the essence of the human being. Praise be to Allah, the Lord and Cherisher, Sustainer of all the worlds. So you can look at this al-amara as the commanding self, the animal self. Animals have the same pleasures that we do, but they don't have the mental abstract thinking and building capability that we have. But we do have animal characteristics about us that are very, very much similar to the other creatures Allah has created. So that's the animal self, or the commanding self. So, you know, during Ramadan, we are trying to command ourselves in the sense of controlling these animal desires, controlling when we eat food, controlling when we have intercourse, controlling this to the extent that we can. You know, during Ramadan, we still got to defecate and urinate, right? Praise be to Allah. I'm trying to bring the point home with a little humor, but I'm serious. In fact, they say you should be serious at a heart attack about Allah and what's going to happen to you when you leave here. All of us should be conscious of that, so we should try to pile up good deed after good deed after good deed in this life. So now I want to talk to you about the second self, and it's called Nafsul Lawwama. Some translate it as the self-reproaching spirit. I'd like to translate it as the moral intellectual self. In other words, your intellect has something to do with your morals. As your intellect increases and your knowledge of God increases, inshallah, God willing, our morals will increase and get better. Inshallah. So Nafsul Lawwama is called the self-accusing spirit in some instances. The self-reproaching spirit. So what is that? You do something wrong. Sadiq, I know I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I'm not going to do that. That's not right. So you're talking to yourself. You have a Star Wars-like, meaning a fight between good and evil. That's part of the human experience. Good and evil. And we want the good to prevail. We want the good to outweigh our bad, inshallah. So in the Quran, Allah says, La uqsimu bi yawmil qiyam. I do call to witness the resurrection day. And some translators, I swear by the resurrection day. God is swearing by this resurrection day. Then you know, this resurrection day that he's talking about is a reality that he knows, but you don't know what it's going to be like. But he, the creator, indeed knows what the resurrection day is like and what it will be. And whether you will go to the heaven or you will go to the hellfire. When I say you, I'm speaking of all of us. Whether we go to the heaven or to the hellfire. So we're all in this together, in the same boat. And every soul should have a taste of death. So the next ayah in this Surah 75, verse 1, was the one I just recited. I do call to witness the resurrection day. And the second ayah, وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. And this is again the self-approaching spirit, self-reproaching spirit, the self-accusing, meaning that you examine yourself, you examine your life, you look at where you're going to go tomorrow, where you're going to go any moment from now. You accuse and you examine yourself. And that's the only way that we can grow, is to examine ourselves in light of what Allah has revealed in the Quran, which is called the Al-Furqan. That is that which distinguishes between what is right and what is wrong. Praise be to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified and exalted is He. And the next ayah asks us the question. Ayah sabul insanu alan najma'a idamahu. Does not the human being think that we cannot assemble his bones? Allah said, I can reassemble your bones. And then the next ayah says, I have the power to reproduce your very fingertips. This is what Allah is revealing here. So the idea of fingerprints and all of that was not known in the time of Prophet Muhammad. They didn't know that everybody had a set, you know, fingerprint that you can be identified by, you know. So Allah is referring to how He has the complete control of all of what we do. Everything that we have done in our lives and will do in our lives will be on a, in a sense, a video recorder. And not only that, Allah will be conscious of the mind within, what our subconscious is like, what our subconscious may suggest to us, and what our consciousness is suggesting to us, even as I speak. This Creator has a complete control of everything at all times. And we should remember that. Praise be to Allah. So I mentioned the two. And now the third one of the mess. Allah reveals so beautifully. Ya ayatuha. Ya ayatuha nafsul mutmainna. Again, let me recite that again. Ya ayatuha nafsul mutmainna. To the righteous soul, it will be said, O thou soul, in complete rest and satisfaction. Irji'i illa rabbika radiyatam marbiyah. That is, O soul, come back to thy Lord, to thy Rabb, well pleased with thyself and well pleasing unto Him. Enter thou then, my devotees, my servants. Yes, enter thou my heaven. So, what I'm suggesting to you, that we have two souls, and when the two souls merge together, where the moral intellectual self has power and control over those things that we can command and control, when we can control our habits that are not good for us, and we use Ramadan as a way of strengthening that muscle of causing the mental, spiritual intellect to control the animal self. And as I indicated, that's what makes us different from the lower animals, if you will. So when those two merge into one, we reach a state of peace. And not only that, Allah says, you are now, we are now welcome to enter His heaven, His garden, where we can get our animal self controlled by our intellectual self and have a cognizance of being moral, being upright, having integrity and honor. So, that being said, we should be aware that we want spiritual life, but we also want material life. And this heaven that Allah is beckoning us to, we can realize it on this side, and even more so when we leave this heaven, leave this earth. So we can have a heaven on earth, a heaven on earth while we live, be in a state of peace. And that's what Al-Islam is, the state of submission, right, to the will of God. And through that submission, we come into a semblance of peace. And we know that it waxes and wanes depending on how well we obey what Allah has asked us to obey. So let me mention another beautiful ayah, speaking of the fact that we are interested as Muslims in a material heaven. Allah reveals in the Quran in Surah 7, verse 32 and 33. Say, He's commanding Muhammad, say, who have forbidden the beautiful gift of Allah, which he had produced for his servants, and the things clean and pure which he has provided for sustenance. Say, again, God is being in a state of commanding Muhammad to say, they are in the life of this world for those who believe and solely for them on the day of judgment. So Allah is telling you and I that he'll give some material things to the Trumpers and Trump himself and those who just focus on material things, having a fine car, and they think the fine car makes them better than the one that got a raggedy car, all that kind of stuff. He'll let them have it on this side. But he says they get nothing but punishment and destruction on the side after we die. Then Allah goes on to reveal, thus do we explain the signs in detail for those who understand. Then he commands the prophet to say this, say, the things that my Lord have indeed forbidden are shameful deeds. In other words, having material things is not forbidden to believers in God. But the things that are shameful, whether open or secret, sins and trespasses against truth or reason, assigning of partners to Allah. Very comprehensive. For which he has given no authority in saying things about Allah or about God of which you have no knowledge. So here, Allah is making it clear that assigning partners to him is a very, very major offense. He asked the question in the Quran, how can I have a son when I never had a consort? No, he's saying if I had a son, and you know how the wife, husband, and children relationship is, and if you have it out of wedlock, then they call that adultery or fornication, right? So Allah is saying that if I did have a son, then I am guilty of adultery or fornication. That's a rhetorical thought that he's conveying, I believe, with Muslims in audience to our minds. So he has no sons, no cousins, no daughters. No one or nothing shares in his dominion over the heavens and the earth. Now, I know that in the Bible language it says, let us make man in our own image. So many Christians will take that to mean that Jesus and God was up in heaven, and the image of God is Jesus, so let us make people that look just like us, you know. But this we that's being referred to is the authoritative we. I want to image this human being in what I want to design as a human being. It doesn't mean that Jesus was up there with him, helping him to make this creation and make the human being. Jesus says in the Bible, hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Now, I'm speaking about the Bible a little bit here because I recognize there's going to be other than Muslims that will be listening to this particular lecture. And I'm trying to help them to come out of the idea of having in their minds that God is one who has a son. This is a very, very crucial matter. And I say this from my heart. I encourage you strongly to study the Quran, read the Quran, and follow your good human nature. And if you do, Allah will reward you, reward us many, many, many times over for acknowledging La ilaha illallah. There's no deity but the one deity, God alone. And there's nothing like unto him. And he did not father any children, nor was he born out of triple darkness or born out of anything. In fact, in the Surah 6, verse 1, he says, he made the darkness and the light. So darkness wasn't even here before this creator. So you who are followers of Elijah Muhammad, I honor Elijah Muhammad, I believe him, to be a man that brought us out of darkness into some semblance of light. But we should recognize that God did not have to get himself created out of triple darkness over eons and eons of time. And again, as I indicated earlier, this triple darkness, or these three levels of darkness mentioned in the Quran, is talking about the three layers that keeps us from the light of this world while we're in the wombs of our mother. Again, the stomach lining, the uterine wall, and the amniotic sac or fluid that we are enclosed in. And when that thing bursts, that is, that sac bursts, we come on out into the world. Praise be to Allah, the cherished, the sustainer of all the world. So I'm saying to you that when those two nefs, that is the animal nef and the commanding intellectual self, gets control of the animal self, we reach a state of peace, and we're pleased with ourselves and pleasing to our God. And then we are ready to enter the paradise that God has set forth, that he invites us. He says, yea, enter thou my heaven. Again, that kulli fi ibadi, enter thou among my servants, wa kulli jannati, and enter thou my paradise. So I hope I said something of value to you, and I would like to encourage you to be a long-life student of the Quran. And if you can't read it in Arabic, I would encourage you to strive to be able to do that. And if you do, you'll be in better contact, closer contact to what Allah has revealed, because translators can only do so much. And we know that the Quran was revealed in Arabic, and Allah has said that he has made Arabic easy. And we know that this is the language that he preserved on the deserts of Arabia for his final revelation to humanity. We as Muslims believe that this Quran followed the Bible, and it is a confirmation of the truth of the Bible and a rejection of the interpolation and mistakes and understanding of the messengers that came before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, the prayers and peace and blessings be upon him. Rabbana atmim lana nurana waghfir lana innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Our Lord, complete our life for us, forgive us, for surely you have power over all things at all times. Ameen. So let me make a pause here. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Our Lord, cause not our hearts to swerve or deviate after you've guided us aright, but bestow upon us mercy from your presence, for surely you are the grandest of the givers. Rabbi habli hukma wa hikni bi salihin wasalli lisana sidkin fi akhirin واجعل لي من ورثات جنة النعيم واغفر لي أبي إنه كان من الضالين ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون. Our Lord, bestow upon us wisdom, unite us with the righteous, grant us honorable mention on the tongue of truth among the latest of the generations, make us inheritors of the garden of bliss and joy, and forgive our forefathers, for many of them were galling or astray, and do not let us be in disgrace and humiliation on the day that we are yubathun, we are raised for the final judgment. O Muslims and Facebook audience that are listening to this particular talk, I would encourage the Muslims to spend more time doing da'wah, that is, inviting people to this way of God. God says to us in the Quran, in Surah 16, verse 125, to invite all to the way of thy Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching. I have lived a long time, and I have seen how the societal norms and the religion that we had before Islam have caused many of us to realize a very, very tragic death and life. We have many family members who have died from alcoholism, drugs, you name it. And I always remember what the Bible name said. I believe Mary Magdalene made the comment, if Jesus would have been here, Lazarus may not have died. So I look back at my own life and I say, if I had been a Muslim coming out of the womb of my mother, I was a Muslim, but through the influence of the society, I became other than a submitter to the will of God because of the influences of my people and also the influences of the people outside of my immediate family. And so I look at the fact that I have brothers and uncles that have died of alcoholism and other things like that, and I cannot believe in my sincere heart that had they been Muslims, followers of Islam, that that would have been their fate. So we love Islam, and we love you. We love people, and we want people to find the right way. And God has said to us, I have never left you to wander aimlessly. I have given you a blueprint, and this Quran is the blueprint, and Muhammad is the life example for all of us to follow. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that the whole body of the Christian teaching in the Bible is wrong. I'm saying that there's portions there that is against what God would have us to do, and he corrects some of the things that we are engaged in as Christians by sending this Quran, following up the great prophet Jesus. To be a Muslim, as you all know, we have to believe in the prophethood of all of the prophets, and God is not a God of confusion. So in Islam, we believe we have one deity, one God, one universe, one prophethood, and one human family. So any deviations that we have in terms of what is right religion and what is wrong religion is because of human beings, not because of the Creator himself. But be aware that this Creator allowed these discrepancies and deviations to occur. But that doesn't make it right to believe that God has a son. It is not right for you to think that God is not in control of everything at all times. This Creator is more than what we ever can imagine. He is the one that's called El-Mutakabir, meaning the one who has the right to boast of what he has done, what he has created. But he even shows the humility in the words of the Quran. But we know that he is also the avenger. He can be merciful, he can be kind, he can be forgiving again and again, but at the same time he is El-Pawi, the powerful, the strong. So we encourage you, I encourage myself and the Muslims and non-Muslims, to spend more time reading the glorious Quran. So after we do the khutbah, the lecture, we have what is called the iqama. And so I'm going to call the iqama in the shortened version, just so you can get an idea of the format here if you aren't familiar with the Muslim way in terms of the Friday Jumu'ah prayer that we say. So we get into ranks. The women are generally behind the men. You might ask why. I would say because the men have a tendency to be more conscious of the sexuality of the women than the men in most cases. So we don't want to be looking into the posteriors of the women. So we say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Hayya lash salah, Hayya lal falah, Qad qamatis salah, Qad qamatis salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. That is what we call the iqama, meaning that the prayer is ready. I bear witness there's no deity but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Come to Salah. Come to the cultivation of the mind. Life is upon the prayer. Life is upon the cultivation, pardon me, of the mind. God is great. God is great. Prayer is ready. Khatam is just so last. Khatam is just so last. God is great. God is great. I didn't say it in the right order, but that is the right Arabic. But in trying to rush to conclude this, I may have said Allahu Akbar twice. But we used to say Allahu Akbar at the very end of what we call the Iqamah. And then we begin with the Imam or leader of the prayer saying, Allahu Akbar. So I'm going to conclude with Al-Fatiha and then make my two seconds of prayer, concluding the Jumu'ah here on November 27th, 2020. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Translated, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise is due to the Creator, the Lord, Cherisher, Sustainer of all the worlds, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we ask for help. Guide us to the straight way, the way of those upon whom you have bestowed your favor and your grace and your mercy, and not of those whose portion is wrath and punishment and who go not astray. We do not want to be of those who receive the wrath or go astray from what we know to be right. So I conclude now. Rabbi Habli Hukma Rahikni Salihim. واسألني لسان الشرك الآكرين واسألني من ورثات جنة النعيم واكفر لي أبي إنه كان من الضالين ولا تقسني يوم يبعثون. This is a dua I repeated earlier. I said earlier, I'm going to repeat it again here. Our Lord, bestow upon us wisdom, unite us with the righteous, grant us honorable mention on the tongue of truth among the latest of the generations. Make us inheritors of the garden of bliss and joy, and forgive our forefathers for many of them were astray, and do not let us be in disgrace and humiliation from the day that we are yubathun, we are raised for the final judgment.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it is for anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil, Language of Transliteration. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in the separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Siddiq Jihad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Siddiq Jihad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.SiddiqJihad.com. That's SiddiqJihad, JIHAD.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, Redford, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Siddiq, that's SiddiqEQ at msn.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.